KFC Radio Season 2, Episode 14. This episode is brought to you by Pure Dior. Pure Dior is shampoo that helps fight hair thinning. Now listen, your hair is the most important quality you can have. I like to think that I have a pretty good head of hair. I like to think that I got some flow going on. But I'm always worried about it. I feel like I wake up in the middle of the night like, what if I start losing my hair tomorrow? Well, I'm not gonna, because I use Pure Dior every time I hop in the shower. You stop the hair thinning, you're always going to get chicks. A full head of hair is always going to turn girls' heads. And so right now, if you use this Pure Dior, you can start thickening that hair. There's over 13,000 reviews online. That can't lie. It's an 8-week clinical trial where 9 out of every 10 users notice measurably improved volume to their hair. Right now, if you go to 2MinuteClub.com, that's the number 2MinuteClub.com/KFC, you're going to get $20 off instantly. Use the code KFC at checkout. You're going to get that shampoo and conditioner sent right to you with $20 off and free delivery. Wash that hair, get nice, shiny, clean hair, and keep it growing nice and thick. It's KFC Radio. Let's do it.
Things is on the up and up, things is looking swell. Things is on the up and up, far as I can tell. Things is on the up and up, things is looking swell. Things is on the up and up.
It's your boy KFC alongside Feitelberg. Your girl Asa's out in Las Vegas for the AVN, so it's just me and your boy flying solo today. The girls are away. It's time to just do weird dude stuff. Throw it back to the old season one KFC radio, where it's just guys being dudes talking about ignorantly about things we don't really know about.
That's what I thrive at.
Speaking of ignorance, we got your boy Bill Belichick in the news, mouthing off about Instabook and Snapface and Tindergram. And I wonder what other sort of mix-up Bill Belichick's going to come with next, Fights. I wonder what sort of wacky name for an internet company he's going to come up with next. Give me a fucking break here. Bill Belichick conveniently knowing half of the words for every social media platform but not knowing the actual name is as annoying as it gets. Bill, it's okay to admit that you know about internet apps, okay? It's okay that you're allowed to know the names of the most popular apps on the planet Earth. No one's going to judge you. No one's going to start treating Bill Belichick like he's some 14-year-old teenager just because he knows the word Instagram. It's like being the dude who says that he watches The Bachelor only because his girlfriend makes him, or the guy who pretends to not know anything about the Kardashians, like you don't know any of their names or any of their business. Give me a break. It's not like you have to be an annoying millennial to know words and names and know all about society today. We're talking about billion-dollar apps and shows and people. If you know the names of those things, it's okay. And the best part for Bill Belichick is that he's doing all of this. He's answering these questions intentionally like this because he wants to focus on football. It's always like, oh, I don't know. We don't do much with social media. We're all about football here. But because he's making up these words, it ends up becoming headlines. People are talking about it on the internet. It's like this new little thing. Is Bill Belichick trolling? So it's actually counterproductive for Belichick. All he wants to do is talk about football. Well, then, I don't know. Why don't you just say Instagram and Snapchat instead of pretending to not know these words? You got like 60 Super Bowl rings, Bill. No one's gonna accuse you of being a social media whore or something like that just because you know the names. No one's gonna think any less of you, Bill Belichick. Just say Instagram. Just say Snapchat. We know you know the truth. I don't know why your boy is insisting on doing this, John. And he's making it a thing now by doing it again.
It's just. He's New England's grandfather, and this is just his little joke.
That's what I mean, though.
His funny little joke that I've never heard someone get riled up about. It's just him being like, yeah, the kids get a crack on
it. Because he presents it in a way of
he's
like.
He's done it for 10 years,
yeah, that's
Kevin.
What I mean.
He's aware. He knows what they are. He's aware everyone knows that he knows what they are.
I don't think he does. I think he wants to
you
present
think one
it.
Of the smartest guys ever to stand at a podium. Doesn't realize that everyone knows what he's been talking about for the last 10 years?
I think that if he was one of the smartest guys to stand at a podium, he would just say Instagram.
It's just
he would
a joke. Just say Snapchat. It's not hysterical. It's just his grandfather type joke.
I don't think he's that kind of guy at all.
He
I don't
absolutely
think he's ever
is that
joking.
Kind of guy. He
he's
is.
Always talking about how it's all about football, and now all of a sudden he has to constantly make this joke. This joke.
The fact
get
that you don't know that Bill Belichick's joking quite often is weird. Like, just today, he's standing at the podium, and Tommy Karin, our boy over at CSNNE, says, AFC Championship, a lot of pomp and circumstance surrounding this. I mean, you don't do a lot of press conferences with the trophy in the room. Lamar Hunt sitting right there. And Belichick just goes, I know. So exciting. And then everyone starts laughing, and you can see him holding back a smile. He's having fun. He's having fun. This has been happening for 10 years. It's just his corny little joke.
I think
get that upset about it is.
I don't get that upset.
It's peculiar, Kevin.
I think it's very cliche of him to just be like, I'm the old man who doesn't know these words. Like, you know these words. Just fucking say them.
But everyone gets a kick out of it. It's just like, Bill. It's classic Bill.
He said
snap face for a decade.
I think that he thinks that it's because he needs to present this image where he doesn't know these things. Oh, I'm always all about football. Because if you were all about football, you just wouldn't say it.
You're 100% wrong on this one. He's just having fun.
It's a very weird way to have fun.
He doesn't think of it. Well, Belichick's a strange guy. Geniuses are typically a little.
A genius would just be like, I'm not about social media. We're not on Instagram.
If you're going to start arguing that Bill Belichick isn't a genius, then we might just stop this podcast and fist fight. But he's geniuses are usually a little socially awkward, and that's just his corny little joke.
It's a terrible joke. If that's what it is, it's a terrible joke.
Corny jokes are inherently terrible.
I don't even think that a grandfather would make that joke.
That's such a dad joke. Are you kidding me?
I think my dad wouldn't even know the names to mix up.
Well, my dad mixes up all the time.
I think if I said to my dad, like, what's the app where you, like, snap quick little videos, you'd be like, I don't know the name of that. You know the name, dude. Just say it. It's just a weird, like, it's weirder how mad you are about it. I'm not really that mad. It's just annoying.
You just ranted about it for 5 minutes.
I think it's clearly everyone's talking about it, and is he trolling, and is it not? It's like, dude, you just know. Just stop pretending like you don't know the names. You know the names. It's just not a funny joke.
If you don't like the joke, that's fine. But to be like, you know the names, Bill. Say them. Like, you're going to torture him over it.
I'm not torturing him. I just think it's an old, played out old man thing.
It's exactly an old man thing. It's 100%
it is. It's like cliche and played out.
It's an old man little joke.
Yeah, it's not a good one.
That's fine. If you don't like it, that's fine. Up in New England, when we like do like all the when he always drops those at like the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl press conferences, we always get a good kick out of
him. You get a little laugh.
Yeah.
You guys got a terrible sense of humor up in New England.
Keeps it light when we're doing things like winning championships. You wouldn't know because you don't love somebody. You don't have someone in your life who's given you so much.
So true.
Where you kind of just laugh at their corny jokes. You're like, you know what?
I got nothing.
You've provided me with just an exceptional life I've lived, and a significant portion of it is due to your exploits. And you know what? When you want to crack this little joke, I'm gonna laugh with you, bud.
Just say the.
You've just never had a grandfather you cared for, or a football coach you cared for.
All my grandparents are dead. All my football coaches stink. You know what? I actually had a little bit of love for Rex, not because of winning, but because he made my job so easy. He was like such an important part of Barstool New York starting up that I remember being like, whatever this guy does, I'm down with. You want to fuck feet? You want to like talk shit? You want to wear wigs at the press conference? Like. Whatever, because without you, I probably wouldn't have a job.
It's a fair point.
Belichick's
kind of the same. Without the success that Boston sports have had, Barstool probably isn't as big either.
Dude, the amount of like serendipity that needed to fall into place with Barstool when it comes to sports shit. I mean, like if none of these teams had exciting. If they didn't win, if they didn't have like notable coaches or big like media problems, like what if we just were like in, I don't know, like Florida, and it was just like the Dolphins and like the Panthers and shit? It just never would have worked.
People complain about a Northeast media bias. Yeah, there is, because they're the ones that fucking get us alive.
Yeah, honestly, that and like the people in the Northeast, like fucking. Care about it. We're ridiculous about it. We want to argue about it. We want to yell about it. It consumes our lives, and so that's why there's a bias. Because the rest of you guys don't really give a shit.
There's a reason why, like in the 95 corridor from DC up to Boston, that no one listens to fucking Mike and Mike. They listen to their local guys,
right? Because those guys care, right?
And it's not just playful. And Mike and Mike is what they are. They're vanilla.
The national.
Right. They're supposed to be, they're supposed to have mass appeal and all that. Whereas locally, it's angry. We want, like you said, we want to fight. We want to argue. We want to talk about it. Everyone else is like, yeah, it'll be a I'll have it on in the background. That's
we
fine.
We win, we lose, whatever, no big deal. It's like, no. Like you said, this dude has legitimately, like, changed your life.
Yeah.
For the better.
He's had a significant impact on my life.
Let's list it. Like, where would you put Bill Belichick as far as, like, important, influential adults in your life? Like, after your mom and dad?
Top five, yeah.
Yeah, like mom, dad, like aunt, uncle, maybe, grandparent.
No, he's above all aunt and uncles. My, I never knew my grandmother on one side, and then my other three grandparents there. So maybe Bill's six. So I got my parents.
Top five are your parents and grandparents that are alive, and then Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
No teacher, no friend, no nothing. It's really Bill Belichick.
No, there are some teachers in there in the top 10, but no one's ahead of Bill.
Nobody.
No.
I mean, and you really could make the argument that as far as, like, bringing you straight happiness, like, your parents are there for you and shit, but they've also, like, they've disciplined you and they bother you sometimes. Like, you've really got nothing but love for Bill Belichick.
No, nothing at all.
Not a bad thing to say about him, even though he won't fucking just say the name in your social media apps.
Even just what my personality is now, the success of the Patriots has had a large influence on that. So Bill,
all right, Portnoy,
make the argument. I don't. It's not my entire personality, but from the months from September to February, my personality then is different than what it is in the summer.
Yeah,
and that time span, that's all Bill. Bill has almost everything to do with that, with the fact that I can't watch other football games with people because those teams stink. It's like watching high school football. That's because of Bill. Bill ruined the NFL for me.
Wait for this era to end.
Yeah, man. Talk to you. We probably won't even know each other.
Because then. You won't.
You won't even be able to rub it in my face because it'll be 20 years from now.
I feel like, I guess Bill really has no reason to stop, but, you know, you saw it with, like, Phil Jackson and Jordan when it was kind of like, when things were winding down with Jordan, it was really time for him to be like, let's just, like, make a clean break now. Like, even if Brady, you know, Brady will probably pay for, what, like, 10 or 15 more years?
I got him for four.
I could see a scenario where, at least temporarily, maybe I don't think Bill Belichick's the type who's just going to walk away and never come back. I could see a scenario where he's like, we're good. Especially if there's some more winning that goes on. Or if, like, at the end of a Brady contract, he wins and it's kind of like riding off into the sunset, I could see him being like, I'm out.
Him and Brady have, not explicitly, but they've kind of hinted that they really don't have a desire to play or coach for anyone else.
Right. Everybody does that. Everybody, like, even the greats end up on, you know, the Chiefs with, like, a guy like Joe Montana. Like, everybody pushes it too far usually.
Yeah.
I don't think those guys will do that.
But, well, Brady's always said, when I stink, I retire. So he's not going to be a Brett Favre type.
Right.
But he might have
But
a
what's weird idea. Is, like, you know, there was Brett Favre, like, had some good years outside of his Packers years. It's not like he was, like,
oh,
terrible,
no, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, his last game was an NFC Championship.
Right, right.
Right? I mean, you're pretty good to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that
yeah.
wasn't.
And even, like, his little stint with the Jets, like, they were cruising for a while before they kind of imploded. Like, he would have had, you know, multiple playoff appearances outside of his career with the Packers. So it's like, I don't doubt that Brady could do that elsewhere.
No, he could do a Manning thing where he goes to the number one
defense
and all that.
Yeah.
But I don't think he would, I don't think Brady would do Manning's second season. I don't think Brady would do Manning's Super Bowl season.
Because
he fell off at the end of that last year. He went off a cliff. And then I don't think Brady comes back for that next year. Because I think he's such a competitor where, I think
he's not the guy.
I don't think he's the guy who is like, I'm going to do it again. He's the guy who flips over the Monopoly board. He's like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
I respect the shit out of him.
Yeah,
I think
that he might, you know, if he has six bad weeks to end a season and he kind of knows that it's time, I can see him going, that's it.
The day this does happen, though, the rest of your life, like, you're really not going to know what to do because for more or less your entire adult sports life has been this. And especially by the time you're like 40 or 50, you're not going to even really remember your early years, maybe prior to the Patriots reign. So you're going to be like, I don't even remember what it's like.
I don't know. There's this other team, the Red Sox, who have one of the youngest superstar laden
teams
in baseball.
But football, I mean,
Football. I can easily transfer to baseball. I've always been more of a baseball guy in my whole life growing up. I played football in high school, but I didn't even like it.
So I've always been more of a baseball guy. So I can put all this cockiness into baseball, no problem.
don't you worry about me, bro. No, I'll figure out a way.
That'll be a flawless transition. And the Bruins also have a couple young studs coming up. So don't you worry about my sports life. I'll be okay. Mike Lowry gonna be
see,
all right.
See, I mean, you're probably right, but like you're a little bit, you're very spoiled. Like there is, the entire existence of Boston prior to you being like 15 years old was the total opposite of that for a long, 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 long time. Like if that just happens again, where you don't all of a sudden just, oh, well, my baseball team's good. And my baseball team's not good. My football team's good. And if not, then we're going to win a Stanley Cup. There's a very strong possibility that you just go into another drought. And I don't think you would know how to handle that.
I think I'd be fine.
I don't think you would.
I do.
I don't think you know how to.
I think I'd be totally fine. I think with my, outside of my sports life.
Well, it just fits your personality. Yeah, just be like, whatever, everything sucks.
I wouldn't downward spiral. I have this yin and yang to me, where there's the sports side of me, which is always high.
Only reason you can continue to exist.
Yeah.
Because I think you would commit suicide.
Yeah. So maybe you're right.
The yang is low.
It's low. So I know that side. I know the lows because if a football game's not on TV, I'm experiencing them. So
if I'm not talking about Bill Belichick, I'm low.
Right. So I think I could just be able to withstand it. I think I read an article today about Tom Brady in Sports Illustrated. Monday Morning Quarterback, where it's just about how he's so mentally tough that when Belichick fucking destroys him, because Belichick's harder on him in front of everybody than he is. Again, about anybody else, Brady's just so mentally tough that he can handle it and he's fine. I think the rest of my life outside of sports has mentally prepared me
for a drought,
just for anything,
for war. I could go to Afghanistan right now. Yeah, I'm ready.
Like, I'm not getting PTSD. I've seen and lived worse in my dreams. I promise.
You would honestly think that you have like gone to war and back the way we talk. It's incredible.
I've just lived a pretty great upper middle class life.
But seriously, it's like we live about as charmed of a life as possible. We're in the upper 1% for sure. And we just talk.
But I'll
about
tell you what, Kevin, we're the ones who get left behind on this.
Because
everyone thinks we're
that
not allowed to be sad.
That is very true.
You white prep school motherfucker, you can't be sad. Oh, I bet you I can, pal. I bet you I can.
Seriously, it's really a high time that we talk about how it's hard to be a white male in this country. All right,
it's everyone. Oh, no man left behind except the white prep school
except the
kid.
The average white guy.
You have a stigma and you can't admit to being sad and afraid to talk about things.
And part of the problem.
That's that mental health right there, man. Get that, Michelle. You stop worrying about my pecs. You should have focused on my mental health.
Part of the problem with our mental health is that every corner we turn, every computer screen you open, somebody's talking about their period. We talked about it a couple days ago on KSU Radio with Asa. And then just right after we did cut the shit and we said enough about your periods, I open up Snapchat today, Snapface, InstaSnap, and I see on the Discover tab from Refinery29, big fucking picture of a tampon. It says, "Why is your period blood that color?" Why the fuck are you putting that on my Discover tab? Now, I mean, imagine if it was just like, "Why is your poop that color brown?" Disgusting. Don't want to hear about it. And I saw some people chiming in after we did cut the shit last week, a couple days ago, being like, "Wow, it's not that big of a deal. Why do you have a problem with it?" It's like, listen, it's not gonna like ruin my life, but it's just completely unnecessary.
Here's kind of how I look at it.
Unnecessary,
right? The N-word's not that big a deal, but people don't like it, so I don't do it. Right?
Exactly.
Muhammad. I'm not supposed to draw him.
I'm not going to do it.
So I don't, because it bothers people.
I don't need to bother anybody.
Right? People get upset about it, so I say, okay, I'm not going to draw Muhammad. I'm done with it. that phase of my life is over.
Would you be like a really good Muhammad drawer?
I draw a great Muhammad, but I left that life of artistry behind because it upset folks. Why can't women just do the same?
Well, here's the thing. Do you think that there's so many articles and shit about it that like maybe they just love talking about their periods? Like are websites out there being like, clickbait, we got to get our period article up today to get our clicks up. There must be a reason why it's constant. There must be a reason why everywhere I turn, there's artists making murals with their periods and feminists writing about it snapping about it.
Maybe on a level, chicks are really self-conscious about it. Like, guys, we talk about our dicks all the time because we don't know what the fuck we're doing with it.
True. Right?
Like, what do they always say? One of the most Googled phrases is, what's the advertised penis? Because no one knows what the fuck's going on with their dick. Where do I stand with my penis?
Right.
It's something you always want to know. So maybe that's what chicks are with. They want to know.
How's their period? Is it lasting 13 days? Is it, does it look like this? Why is it that color?
Why is it painted like a baby? All these kinds of things that women don't, they don't know. So they want, I guess there's that mystery.
Some things are better left, you know.
Yeah.
Ignorance is bliss, girls. We don't need to know.
I don't ask you what size your dick is, Kevin.
I mean, because you don't want to feel bad about yourself.
Why is a girl asking what color blood she should have? Red is the answer, just so you know.
Blood's red.
Red.
It's blue on the inside, and then it hits the air, it becomes red.
If it's not red,
something's wrong
with
you.
Go to a doctor.
But it really isn't red.
I took med phys in high school. If your blood is not red,
something's wrong.
See someone. See someone for sure.
You were blogging about your boy Michael Che earlier last week, and he totally fucking dunked on that chick. He was on Raya, the dating app for famous people, which we'll talk about in a minute.
What if you're verified, can you get on Raya?
I don't know how that works. Like, how famous are we talking? Because, like, Michael Che is famous, but, like, the chick who he was talking to, I don't know. How famous do you need to be to get on Raya? How does this work?
I don't know how famous you have to be, but you have to apply and you have to have references that are already on it vouch for you, and then they like evaluate it.
If you think I'm doing that for fucking sex, you're nuts,
dude.
Well, you know who applied? Asa Akira.
Did she get in?
She's been waitlisted.
Oh,
actually, I don't know. I think Lenny Balls also applied. He got waitlisted. Asa applied. I don't know if she's heard back yet.
Yo, let me tell you something. If you work at Raya and you're listening right now, if you let Glennie Balls into your app, your app is garbage.
It's the worst marketing you could have. Yeah. Glennie's a great kid.
Awesome guy. Not a famous sexer.
But I won't do something like that. References and an application.
I barely do that for a job.
I wouldn't do that for a job. I wouldn't do that for housing. I wouldn't do that for health insurance. I wouldn't do that to stay alive. So if you think I'm doing that to fuck some chick who started, what, married to the mob? Some fucking fashion
that
company?
Yeah, chick is not famous.
Get out of my face.
Seriously, give me a break. I mean, that is...
That's almost... Raya is like the fraternity of dating apps, where it's like you're paying for friends.
I was going to say, if you're on Raya, you're kind of... I kind of think less of you. I kind of think you're a loser.
You're exactly. You're a real loser.
Right.
100% a loser.
Which is like, I actually liked Michael Chalen. Why are you on this Raya thing, man? It's a Portnoy move. Dave would want to be able to be like, I'm on Raya. And if that's the type of people, maybe they're... I mean, it's perfect. They're all perfect for each other. They all should bang each other if that's what it is. Because those people love each other. You know what I'm saying?
They love their circle.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Here's an article, 28 people you could meet on Raya. Avicii?
Doesn't that dude have like AIDS? Or
yeah, he's like
looks
dead
like
from
it.
Heroin, yeah.
Ruby Rose?
Yeah, she's
Sharon Stone.
Hey now. Sharon Stone's
Diplo.
Still getting out of it.
Apparently this is a DJ-infested...
Everyone you're reading makes perfect sense.
I'm waiting for the champagne...
Joe Jonas.
The champagne facials guy's got to be on there. What's his name?
Krill.
Yeah, he's probably the leader of this. He probably invented this.
Rivers Cuomo.
I don't know who that is.
Cody Simpson.
Isn't he 12?
Flume. Flume's hot in the streets, right?
That's another
people
like,
excited about Flume.
I've heard it.
Moby. It's all DJs.
Raya
is exactly what I expected Raya
to be. I could have predicted that it's infested with DJs and like the club scene people for sure. Club Day would perfectly fit right in. But Michael Che, this girl called him out. And he fucking dunked on her by releasing all the texts. And this chick came out and she owned up to it, which I'm pretty surprised about. She basically said, you caught me at like my pettiest and my craziest. And I was surprised by that. I guess when you're caught that bad, there's really no other way to go. But she said, you guys got to see my petty side. You got to see me being spiteful and angry because I got rejected. I got put out there because I called the guy out. I called him a disrespectful woman hater without thinking too much about it, not thinking that it would cause this much of a ruckus. And it got played out in the news. He released all the text messages, which made me look totally crazy. Yeah. I mean, that's what fucking happened. I'm surprised.
When she says, you caught me, I didn't really catch you. You kind of just said it. Right?
Well,
it
was, and that's really what, like, this, not apology, or but this owning up to it is only because you got, quote unquote, caught. You got aired out. It's not like she would, if Michael Che never released these texts, she would still gladly be doing the circuit, being like, Michael Che's a woman hater, and
right,
blah, blah,
right,
blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
I was assaulted, and blah, 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 blah. So, like, yeah, you are petty and crazy, and you're only letting us know that because you have no other choice right now. It's like apologizing when you get caught. It's like you're not actually sorry.
I've never been sorry my entire life.
Never.
It actually worries me how little I've ever been sorry.
My wife says that to me all the time. Like, you're not actually sorry. You just want, like, to end this fight. And I'm like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
the ends justify the means here. Yes, I want to end this fight and just get on with our lives. So I am, quote unquote, sorry.
You hit the nail on the head. You're right. I do want to. I want this discussion to cease. So I will say
whatever
magic word you need to hear from
right.
me to get the fuck out of my face.
And then and then she's, you know, if you want to continue to fight about it, it's like, you realize how little this means to me then. I'm willing to just say whatever to end it.
Yeah.
So I really don't give a fuck about this. It's clearly not that important.
Have you ever, like, genuinely felt sorry for something? I don't think I have.
There's been a couple times where I've definitely done the wrong thing and been like, I shouldn't have done that, and I'm sorry.
But I wasn't
for that.
Sorry. Yeah. I wasn't sorry. I knew that. I knew I shouldn't have done that.
But
I was
caught.
Still thinking, I don't give a fuck. Whatever. Fucking deal with it.
I would say
there's been, probably shouldn't have done that.
There's been
whatever.
Like two times where I have upset my wife and been like, and she's had a right to really be upset, and I've been like, I am sorry about that. That's about it. Every other time, it's like, I don't really care that I did the wrong thing here.
I may be outing myself as a sociopath here, but I don't think I've ever...
been sorry.
I've never been guilty about anything.
you lack... You have the uncanny ability to just, like, move right on and be like, that's not a big deal. I don't care what you think. I don't think it's a big deal, so whatever.
I don't care.
I will sleep like a fucking baby tonight.
I don't care what you think. It don't get me wrong. I do have. I think everyone, even the people who don't see, because there are some people who feed off hate and disagreement, and I'm not that because I don't. So it's not like, yeah, I love being hated,
right?
Because I don't give a fuck about that either. I just don't care
one way or the other about anything. It's actually remarkable that you are in the business of, like, giving opinions and stating, like, your feelings as a blogger and a podcaster, because you don't really care about anything. You are, it's like Dexter, like true psychopath, like the marks of a psychopath. You might actually be a serial killer, which would be the ultimate, like, that would be crazy if John had, like, bodies in his apartment. We just didn't know.
Brendan's face was
alive. But this is ultimately why you, like, are never even remotely close to a relationship with a chick, because you just don't care about anything enough. Right?
Guilty as charged.
Yo, I am in the midst right now. My wife has given me, like, the full-blown silent treatment for, like, 48 hours right now, and I don't know what I did. And I am like, this might never end.
See, that's my problem. I don't know if I'd even realize.
Well,
don't think you could silent treatment me, because I wouldn't realize.
This is a very obvious...
I guess if I lived with the person, it might be a little more...
Yeah, exactly. Like, more clear. She's making this very obvious that she's not interacting with me at all. And I usually, like, in the past, I'm like, all right, let's fix this. Like, what did I do? And I'm just like, I can't figure it out. And I'm like, winter is coming. Like, something's about to explode, and I don't know what it is. And I'm just waiting for it. But I don't know. When I feel like I don't know what I did, this stalemate could go on forever, John. I don't know who's going to blink first here, because I'm just going to keep riding this out. Like, I don't know, you're not talking to
me? It's got to be kind of nice, right?
Yeah, in a way. That's the thing. As you get, as when you're older and you're married, like, the silent treatment doesn't really work anymore. Because it's just like, okay, fine, don't talk to me. I'll just watch TV, you know? In the beginning, you're, like, worried and you want to make sure she's happy and all that other nonsense. Now it's just like, I don't know. What is that? What's playing? I can kind of hear you guys.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. What's up, bud?
Hey.
All right. So we have a question.
They're really, really low. Can we turn the volume up at all?
I mean, I can hear him loud and clear now.
Yeah.
And I think our audience can hear him loud and clear, because you're coming across very clear.
Kevin, can you turn your headphones up a little bit?
I'm like maxed out over here.
Okay.
We wanted to talk to Feidelberg about his Lady Feidelberg look.
Can you hear him better?
I mean, I can hear. I can barely hear him, but I think it's manageable.
Okay, so can you hear me, Feidelberg?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about your new... I don't know how new it is, but again, Hank, how would you describe it?
I said it looks like you're at... Whoa. I said it looks like you're in your, like, 13th year of graduate school, getting your, like, second or third PhD.
Yeah, I could see that.
And I've said that you look
This is all just because of glasses?
Yeah.
Well, it's not just the glasses. It's kind of like your entire vibe right now is very, like, alternative coffee shoppy. Like, everyone here has basically said if they had never seen you and walking down the street, there's no way they'd, like you or be friends with you.
Yeah, well, I usually don't. I think that when I see attractive people, too, I'd be like, that dude's a fucking joke.
I don't know that's attractive. The consensus in here is that the glasses look good. You just look like somebody who has zero interest in anything anybody in this office has interest in.
You don't put off the, like, Barstool Sports common guy vibe at all right now, I'll say that, which you might be going for.
I'm okay with that. From what I see around the rest of this office, I'm okay with standing out.
So how much effort is going into this look?
It's the glasses. They take about 2 seconds.
No, but it's let's not pretend it's just the glasses.
I haven't gone shopping in 3 to 4 months, so it really is just the glasses.
John,
everything else I've worn a bunch of times.
Did you get new clothes for Christmas?
I got like a sweater too. I actually was pretty disappointed with
He's been dressing like an asshole for a long time. Yeah, that's not different.
No, it's progressing though, Kevin. It's definitely progressing.
Like factually, it's not.
It is the rip stuff is sort of relevantly like new. Like everything you wear has holes in it intentionally.
Like that started like 3 months ago, 4 months.
Okay,
ago.
That's
so, like your Kanye.
Yeah, right. It's almost like Club Cool when they went to Kanye. It's all of a sudden, and he's with Lewis. Who wears pins, which is like a bananas look.
Yeah, you guys do dress. It's when I'm around them, I'm like uncomfortable. I'm like, I don't know what to even. I don't even know how to handle you guys. You dress so ridiculous.
It's not the worst thing, but it's the glasses that put it over the top for me. That's when I was like, whoa.
And the ripped. I've heard the term thrown around, which may make sense. Like homeless chic. Like they're wearing clothes.
Yeah, but that's
in.
Like, that's Kanye West clothes. That's what the style is these days.
Yeah, but I guess I wouldn't expect our guys to be that. It's trying hard without looking like you're trying. That's what I guess they're doing.
Dave, you have – this is a long history of Dave Portnoy making fun of the way Lewis and I dress, and then you adopt it and pretend you started it in like 6 months.
You'll do it like 2 years later.
You did it with
pegged pants. You did it with joggers. You did it with my leather jacket. You did it with scarves. That's a long list we got here going.
Time out. First of all, I go with a most recent. I wear a Free Brady scarf because I walk half an hour in the rain. That's not a stylish scarf. I wear a Free Brady scarf. The pegged jeans, I don't even know how to do it. I've never done it. I roll them up if they're too long.
That's what I mean. The cuff pegged, whatever.
But if you look at my jeans now, if you could see, they're not because they fit. Like I'm a weird length, so I have a hard time getting like 32-30s now since I lost weight. So I roll them up if they don't fit. The scarves I wear. Other than that, I don't know what people say. Like people were making fun of me the other day. I just had like a sweater over a Patriot
T-shirt.
Don't
act like your style hasn't changed, Dave.
I mean, you were wearing.
I've lost weight.
No.
You were wearing
Italy, Dave.
Italy.
I went to Italy. You were wearing a V-neck shirt in a club the other night, on a Sunday night, no less.
Italy. It's all Italy.
Yeah, but so you dress like an asshole, too.
You dress like a dickhead from 2012.
At least he's a dickhead from 2017.
I think my look is very straightforward. Yours, I don't look like I'm in a coffee shop. I was wearing a fucking
Patriots
T-shirt.
You were in a cardigan and a fucking V-neck. That's what people wore in coffee shops 5 years ago.
So you're saying I'm 5 years behind the time? I wore a cardigan all
the time.
Patriots.
All the time.
No,
yes.
That's true because you will write these blogs and make fun of them, and then like 2 years later, you're wearing those exact things.
Nope, disagree. Strong disagree. I think my look is very like straightforward. Like I mean,
if you had to get glasses, would you get contacts or glasses?
Glasses. Because I don't think I could put contacts in my eyes.
No, I have a huge aversion to eyes. I can't do that. I can't even do eye drops in my eyes.
I've done eye drops since I got the mercury poisoning. I also am pretty convinced that you don't need those glasses.
Oh, dude, I put them on the other day. There's no prescription there.
I told you.
Exactly. Nothing changed.
That is the most obvious.
Do I bring up my prescription?
Move.
Is that what we do in this situation? Would I like my prescription? Yeah. Do you want me to hand it to Kevin?
Here's
because I have it emailed because I had to show it.
I would absolutely put the glasses on only because look at this. Look, I mean, it creates a fucking frenzy when all of a sudden you're the center of attention.
Well,
I was talking about
it is weird.
And let's also acknowledge something.
the Barstool gals have just been loving this.
Oh, I think it's a good look.
Who's the Barstool gals?
But it's also a preposterous.
Just female followers, Dave.
Okay. Yeah, I thought the glasses are a good look. It's a preposterous look. I actually said in the blog I thought you looked good in the glasses.
What's going on with the neck beard, John?
I can only hear Dave.
What's going on with the neck beard? You're catching a lot of flack.
He said he could only hear me, Cole.
All right, well, I'm just going to yell.
Yelling
I'm just going to yell, Dave.
I can only hear Dave doesn't mean just yell louder into your mic. Cole asks, what's up with your neck beard?
That's a fair question.
That needs to go.
Yeah, that's a fair question. That's just been – that started as laziness, and then I was like, maybe we'll do a playoff beard, and it's gotten out of hand. That one I'll own.
I think we can shave.
Yeah, I'll wear that one.
All right. Let's let them get back to their KFC radio. That's an interesting new development that we can just bust into other people's shows, though. I know this is going to cause problems down the road, but I kind of like it.
All right. We're back to business.
That was so weird.
I was like, I can hear some mumbling going on over there. I actually do like that, though. That could be a cool way to do this. Yeah. Like, we can just fuck with each other's shows. Be like, let's get their opinion on this. Yeah, all right, let me turn these back down. Are you like jacked up all high?
I'm pretty high, yeah.
Make sure the levels are still good. Keep talking.
Talking.
Yeah, all right. So we're back over here. So Michael Che is like, you know, he basically for sure won this battle, right? I mean, this chick got absolutely smoked. I don't think there's anybody on her side. I feel like everybody's on his side.
He definitely won the battle. But here's the thing. Him winning this battle shows how many battles we as men have lost.
Exactly.
That's one.
Like,
that's our first
one
on the scoreboard.
This is one out of a billion. Because the texting, sexting, courting game is a fucking battle. It's a war out there that we are constantly playing catch up in.
And it's we've lost every single one before today.
Everyone.
We have been just getting stepped on. Because we have this problem in society where it's not he said, she said. It's she said, she's right. Doesn't matter what it's about. Hey, your ex-girlfriend comes over at the high school lunch table and is like, whatever, you got a little dick.
That's it. That's fact.
Everyone's
it's
laughing. Ah, yep. He's got a little dick, doesn't he? You're wrong. She's just lying. She made it up.
Got a perfectly average dick.
She's just being petty. We're seeing her at her pettiest right now.
At her craziest.
Right? That's bullshit. So now everyone, the veil has been lifted. And everything a woman's ever said is a lie.
See, now here's the thing, though. The reason why we've taken so many L's is because often we're not willing to release the texts, whatever it may be.
Well,
we're not willing to release the tape. We're not willing to say what actually is going on, because whether she is telling the truth or not, somewhere in this conversation, there's an L for you to take. It's very rare that you can release all the texts and not have said something that looks incriminating or bad on your end.
It's because, and everyone, I want you to hear this. I know you're not going to believe me. Your text game sucks.
Everybody's text
Everyone's
game sucks.
Everyone's text
I don't
game
care who you
sucks.
Are, bro. You could be famous. You could be the best with words. Your texts stink.
You can be in the moment. You can be thinking, I'm crushing this. You put that phone down for an hour, walk back, take a cold shower, come back to that phone.
What the fuck was I saying?
What was I thinking when I said that? No one's got good reviewable. Everyone on game tape, when you get back into the locker room on Tuesday and you're going over game tape, everyone's text game sucks.
And that's why I always like when we're making fun of Tiger Woods' texts, or when somebody else's texts leak and we make fun of them. I'll make fun of them for the jokes, but let's all acknowledge that we're in glass houses throwing stones.
Oh.
Especially out of context, because in the moment your text may work. The girl you're sending them to, she might be getting hot and bothered. You might be sending each other pictures and everyone's happy. But after the fact, like you said, after the cold shower, everyone's like, whoa.
I've had some pretty hot and heavy sex conversations that I wanted to go back and revisit.
Yeah.
Oh. I deleted all mine.
Oh, God.
So it was just
cross the eyes, do the final
verse. It was just gray bubble, gray bubble, gray bubble, gray bubble, gray bubble. No responses from me. No, here's what I do next. I don't want to hear what you do, you fucking pervert. Get out of this conversation. Let me just listen to the lady talk, please.
It's so true, because the things you'll say in the heat of the moment are horrendous. And then in the form of written word is really ridiculous. It's one thing to say it quickly or do it, but when you have to write out all the words and read it, you sound creepy, you sound disgusting, and that's often probably why chicks are like, oh, this guy's a pig, because we're very, very explicit with it. You have to be on the same page when you're sexting. You know what I mean? If you're if I'm hot and bothered and the chick is kind of like, eh, not into it.
The chick's in a goddamn meeting.
That's a problem.
Right. You're really trying to force the come on, baby. Give me, let me get a nude.
Like, let me see your asshole. Yeah. I'm in the middle of work. You know? You both have to be on the.
So what? So what? Go to the bathroom.
There is nothing more embarrassing than your sex, no matter how good you think you are at it. So it's important to remember. It's self-awareness, the most important trait you can possibly have. But, yeah, shout out to Michael Che for, like, it, you know what? He probably released them because he was like, this is the one time I wasn't asking a chick to show me her asshole. You know what I mean? Like, I'm good. I can release all these and win this battle. There's a reason why we've taken so many L's. It's because we're always probably disgusting.
I'll say this, though, about Michael Che. Weird to even swipe right on her. Because he was never interested.
The whole conversation was weird. It wasn't like, I don't think he came off looking good. He just proved that he wasn't like.
I don't think he looked bad either. Yeah. Yeah. But it was just, I was like, why did you even accept this girl? Because you clearly have no interest in her whatsoever.
Like, you're just wasting your time.
Everything, every response from him was like your response to your girlfriend of 7 years. The one that you know you're never going to marry. You maybe gave her a promise ring to string that along for a little bit longer.
Hoping she breaks up with you soon.
Right? And just like one word, yeah, whatever, fine. I get it. Like, why did you met this girl an hour ago or a day ago, whatever it was, right? So, like,
yeah.
Fucking, you've never met her. You swiped on her. Like, why? What's the point of ever having this conversation?
His indifference, too, it's also the reason why I think we end up taking so many L's from chicks. Because, all right, the girl runs over to your cafeteria table and says you have a small dick, right? You're just like, well, it's not really true, but whatever.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? How am I going to prove I have an average dick? I don't know. I don't really care. So, yeah, you win. And the girl goes on Twitter, and she parades around, and the feminists write about it. And the guy is just like, whatever. I don't really care about it. Because we just don't care about enough things. So we end up taking the L's. But it's good to see somebody fighting back.
It is nice.
It's not going to be me. I'm not going to carry that cross.
Fuck.
That's going to be the guy.
That also is why I've never really – I was on – I think I've said this before. I was on Tinder when it first started because I did that whole push-ups thing. And then I've never really been on a dating app since. Because I think you really open you up to public scrutiny once. Because people don't, even Barstool Sports, doesn't take Tinder privately.
Right.
Everything's open and it's just.
You'll end up on a BuzzFeed list somewhere. Yeah. You'll end up on a Chris Spags blog somehow.
No thanks.
Especially if you have a shred of public, you know,
I mean, we
persona.
Had intern tech was here for a day and people were already tweeting me his Tinder stuff. And I was like.
That's fucked.
There's no way I would ever do that. No way.
It's just too dangerous out there, man. It's too fucking dangerous. You know what's not dangerous? You know what's an easy, safe guarantee is getting your tickets to sporting events and concert series through SeatGeek. SeatGeek is a free app that takes all the tickets to all of these events on the secondary market, puts them all in an easy-to-read chart where you know that not only are you getting a safe, real ticket, you're getting the best bang for your buck. So go download the free SeatGeek app, enter the promo code KFC, you go buy your ticket. How easy is buying your ticket? You just find your event, find your seat, and click purchase. You don't have to jump through any hoops. They make it as easy as possible. You can do it all right from your phone with just a couple clicks of your thumb. You download it, you buy your ticket, and you use that promo code KFC. They're going to send you $20 back after your first purchase instantly. They'll send it directly to your PayPal account. You have $20 to go buy whatever you want. You can buy a beer. Buy a couple beers at the event. It's free money to do whatever you want with it after you buy your ticket. So download the free SeatGeek app today. Enter the promo code KFC, buy your ticket, and get $20 back. We're about to get into these voicemails, but first I want to do a little edition of Science Says. Today, science says that they have pinpointed, John, the exact type of man who can give a woman an orgasm. Every single time you have sex, this is the type of guy that can give you an orgasm. It comes from the University of Albany. They've been quizzing young women about their sex lives, how intensely, how frequently, how many times they're coming, and this is what science has determined. John, let me ask you this. What do you think the type of male who can give you an orgasm would be?
Not me.
Not John. So the opposite of John. It says, here's what we have determined. The study found that women were more likely to climax if their partners were rich, confident, and attractive. Oh, you don't say, science. Thanks a lot. Tall, dark, and handsome can make you come. No fucking kidding,
that's
man.
That's so weird. Why?
that's something where you have to just get that assignment as a scientist and just sit in a room, almost like Costanza, where you just sat there forever. And
pretending
then
you're doing the
walk
work.
Walk out in 6 months and say, it's a hot rich guy. That's what they want to fuck.
You got
to
like scatter papers and draw shit on the window like you're John Nash in A Beautiful Mind and walk out and be like, I've cracked the case. Hot rich dudes will make you come.
But that's kind of, here's a little, I'm going to throw a little lifeline out for the guys who aren't hot, rich, and confident. Sup. It doesn't say the other guy can't get the job done.
Right.
Right? It's like.
Most likely. It's more
intense. If you were looking for a knife to kill somebody, the machete's probably the quickest, but a butter knife can do it too if you put in the work.
Put in a lot of work to kill someone with a butter knife.
Yeah.
But it can happen.
If you fucking put your mind to it.
That's true.
That butter knife will do it.
I could kill you with a fucking spoon, man.
Right? If you really want it. And that's why. I have entered the spin zone, and I'm gonna fucking say this science thing is wrong, because those tall, dark, handsome, confident guys, they go in there expecting.
True.
They're like, I'm gonna bang
her. It's automatic.
She's gonna love it. She's gonna come. Guy like me, got a butter knife, gets in there. He goes, I gotta work hard at this. I gotta get in there. I gotta do the shit the machete won't do. I gotta fucking bang as hard as I can. I'm putting in as 110% effort, whereas the machete just walks off the bus and thinks he's going to kill somebody.
Well, that's what we always say about chicks. Fat chicks try harder.
Right.
With girls, it's kind of the opposite. It's like we know that the hot chicks are going to lay there and be a dead fish in bed because they know they're sexy. Or a fat girl, they give better head because they're hungry.
Right, exactly.
They will go after it.
They know that their next meal depends on this meal.
Exactly. So that's how fucking whacked out chicks are. Like, oh, it also says here that a guy with broad shoulders will give you more sexual satisfaction.
I do have broad shoulders. That's the one thing I got.
So you got that going for you.
Yeah.
But now, see, the bar is raised. Girls are going to be like, oh, that guy has broad shoulders. You better make me come. And meanwhile, you're just a butter knife.
But yeah, but in my mind, that's what you want. You want a broad-shouldered butter knife.
Oh, okay, spin zone.
Right? That's what you want. Because you got the broad shoulders, but the mind's a butter knife. And it knows he's got to show up every day.
That's Tom Brady.
That's Tom Brady. He wants to show every single day that he's the best quarterback for that team. That's a butter knife.
He wants to look like a machete, even though on the inside he's a butter knife.
Exactly.
Okay, I like it. But really, it does kind of show that chicks are lunatics, because it should not be connected at all. Like, you could be fat and gross, but if, like, your dick game is good and you really know how to go down on chicks,
I totally disagree.
But no, that's...
You can't put that on... You're putting that on girls?
I'm saying that's what should lead to the most intense orgasms. The answer to this study should not have anything to do with if you're tall and handsome.
No, I think
it
there's
so many...
It should
be about if you're good at sex.
I think there's so many outside factors.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's not like a girl thing. That's a guy thing, too.
I think that it's much more a girl thing. Dude, like if an ugly girl gives really good head, I'm gonna have a super intense orgasm. That's not the same situation for girls. If a fat dude is awesome with his dick and knows exactly where to push every button to push, it still is not gonna be as good of an orgasm unless he's tall, dark, and handsome. You follow?
I haven't read all the papers. I haven't poured through the data on this, but I don't think that's what the science thing says. I think it's just the best case you have. I don't think it's saying if you're a fat dude who's a fucking freak in the sheets, I think they're saying you can still make her come to the moon.
Yeah, I'm just saying that the answer to this for guys would not be anything to do with looks.
Yes, it would.
Not really. Best orgasm.
Speaking in generalities.
It would be like the chick who will let you put it in her butt and come on her face.
No, I disagree. I think my best orgasms, if I had to rank them. If you want me to be totally honest, they're all one. I haven't had one orgasm in my life that sticks out where I was like, that was the one where my toes really curled. They're all fucking the same,
man.
I mean,
the fact, they're not even orgasms for guys. Guys don't have orgasms.
It's a sneeze.
Right. Guys just fucking come. They don't have an orgasm. Girls have the big O. Guys just fucking come. But I think for guys it can be ugly chicks, no problem. That's kind of my point.
Dude, for guys, it can be a fucking Ziploc bag, a microwave, Vaseline. It's the same.
That's my point. Girls, it needs to be, you know, it can't be a bag of Vaseline. It's got to be tall, dark, and handsome.
But that's just because it's impossible for us to have a better orgasm. We have a baseline orgasm.
We don't have orgasms. Baseline cum.
Yeah. It's like blood. It's just, you happen to cut us.
Let's get into these voicemails. They're brought to you by 5-4 Club. 5-4, you know what the best part about 5-4 Club is? When I go shopping for myself, if I'm just left to my own devices, I'll just come home with yet another blue button-up. I'll just come home with a blue hoodie. It's the same thing every time because my brain just likes the same fashion, the same clothes every single time. When somebody buys you a gift, right? Sometimes it's outside your comfort zone. Sometimes it's something you never thought you might buy, but you're like, oh, shit, I like that. That's what 5-4 Club is every single month. They send you a package. They pick out the items. So it's not necessarily the same exact thing you're going to get every single time you go to the mall and shop for yourself. You're going to get different things. You're going to get different colors. You're going to get different styles outside your normal fashion sense. That way, you can diversify your look. You start to be a little more trendy, a little more fashionable, and it's all because the fashion experts at 5-4 are doing all the heavy work for you. They're picking it out, and they're sending you a box every single month. 54club.com, use the promo code KFC. You're going to get a double package for your first order. That means $240 worth of clothing for just $60. It's free shipping and free returns on sizes if things don't fit you. And you're going to diversify that look every single month, build up that wardrobe so you have every single style possible. 5-4 Club, F-I-V-E-F-O-U-R, club.com, promo code KFC. Start getting that look together today. Let's get philosophical to start off these voicemails, Johnny NYC.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I got a quick question for you. If you could erase one thing from your mind so that you could go back and relive it or rewatch it, like a TV show or a movie or maybe a book, Awesome, you nerd. I don't know, KFC, I know you're a big Breaking Bad guy. You know, if you could just erase it from your brain so that you could watch it again for the first time, have that first feeling of wonder. I got a lot of things that I could think of that I would love to experience again for the first time. I would say that having sex with your
relive something for the first time, erase it from your brain. We're talking Men in Black, fucking machine. Erase it just so that you can get to relive it. Now I'm sitting here looking at the dude who proclaims that like nothing in his life has really been that good. I'm going to predict, John, that you can't even think of something that you want to erase just to relive it.
I've been trying really hard because I think we kind of hit that pretty heavy earlier. That I just move on and don't really think about anything ever again.
There's nothing that stands out in your mind as like a great memory. Like, oh, that was a really good time. Just in general. Can't think of one thing. I mean, it's like, it's not an act. This is just genuinely how the kid is. He's just got nothing. This dude, now what, like, when I find out that someone is watching a TV show, binging a TV show that I love that I already watched, I do get like a bizarre, overwhelming sense of jealousy. Yeah. When I find out people are like, oh, I've never seen Breaking Bad and I'm on season one, episode one, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so mad that I can't do that anymore because it's already in my brain. When I find out that people are like watching Lost and they're about to get to the point where it's a flash forward, not a flashback, I'm like, oh, that moment stands out in my life. I'm like, I remember seeing that episode and being like, this is awesome. So, and the reason why the answer is for TV shows are good is because you know you can just go relive them. Like, you can't say, I want to erase, like, the sex that I had with that girlfriend because I can go relive it. Because I don't know if you're going to be able to relive it.
Right.
Like,
right.
I can pop on a TV show. I can put on the DVR and rewatch that. You can't take for granted anything else that you maybe got that you shouldn't have gotten. It's like, oh yeah, you wanna have sex with that 10 again and relive that. That's probably not gonna happen again.
Yeah,
can't risk erasing that.
The only thing I had in my mind was I had sex in a hotel once with a stranger that was really good.
Yeah, so you would love to relive that again, but what are the chances you're gonna pull that off?
That was it.
That was probably a one-time thing.
And much like the text messages. It probably wasn't even that good.
Right. You think it was good.
For her, at least.
Yeah, she definitely. I mean, you had the broad shoulders, but she was having sex with a butter knife. So she's probably like, she probably wants to erase that from her brain just to erase it. She doesn't want to relive it.
Yeah, she's not coming back. I wish I had something.
It's a pretty bleak thought when you realize you can't think of anything.
Here's one that I think is a little unorthodox.
Oh, boy.
I'd like to erase multiple memories. I'd like to erase all the Super Bowls. And just get one again.
See, that is the biggest fucking asshole answer ever.
I'm an asshole, so it fits.
That makes you want to chop your head off with a machete.
It's here's
because,
the deal.
Because you're just assuming you're going to get another one.
It's well, no, that's not what this question is. The question
kind
is
of
you,
is, though.
No, the question is you know you get another one.
That's not what this fucking question
That's how
said.
I understood it.
I mean,
right?
No, I wouldn't risk erasing a Super Bowl because you might not get another one.
No, as I understand it, you're erasing it just to relive it again. You're guaranteed to relive it again.
If you want to guarantee things, I think that changes everything because there would be things that I, like chicks that I would erase and get to bang again just to relive it because that first time it happened was awesome. Like when I was in high school and I was banging my girlfriend, she said, "Put your fingers in my ass." That was awesome. And if I could just have that rush again, I would like that again. But I was assuming that I can't necessarily bang that girl again.
I think when you say relive, that's
yeah, okay. If you want to guarantee it, so you want to just give up all the Super Bowls so that you can get that rush again.
It's a really tough decision because I do love the just the dominance is fantastic. It's really nice. It's really good. You should try it.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah. It's to be such a dominant is I've never really been into BDSM.
I'm such a sub.
Outside
when it comes to sports, yeah. I'm a sub.
Outside
of
my athletic life, I don't really fuck with the subs and doms, but it's pretty cool just beating everybody. but there's also an aspect of it where it's Red Army. The Red Army said when USA beat them, it was really cool to see people who cared.
Right.
They had stopped
well,
caring.
Well, I mean, this is always my argument that I give to people. Like, I always say to Yankee fans, like, my one World Series, if I'm ever lucky enough to get one, will be so much better for me than anything you experienced as a spoiled Yankee fan.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean,
that's what you say when you're a loser.
Right. I don't agree with that.
That's the spin zone.
I guess because when you say it like that, I agree. But then if you apply it to football, you're totally wrong. So if it's something I've lived.
But you have to admit on some level that like me winning, if I won a Super Bowl this year, it would be a bigger deal than when you won your fourth.
I don't know because of Deflategate. There's a whole.
That's true. There was a redemption. There was like
see,
a fuck you
as
level.
As Patriots
but,
fans, we've gotten so lucky because it does get boring to do that. And here's what I said earlier. I think I said this in the blog. The Patriots are without equal in football on the field. And they have been for some time. And that's why the regular season's gotten boring. That's why everything up to the AFC Championship has gotten boring. But Deflategate was such a happy circumstance for us.
Because it made it matter again.
Because we have a new villain.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on the – there's we
it's
now
in the front
have,
office.
And it's someone who we really can't – beat
right
you can't successfully shut down Roger Goodell, but there's we can get a shot in, and that's why this Super Bowl matters. That's why the next one will matter. That's why from here on out the Patriots Super Bowls will
See,
matter again, because it'll
that,
be
you
fuck
know,
you Roger.
You want to hear something sick? That's like the Jets with the Patriots. Like you're like our Roger Goodell. It's like we can't beat them. We can't right. shut them down. We can just hope to maybe beat them like week six and stick it to them. Yeah. That's you getting a shot in. That's you're fucking my Goodell. So you're erasing your Super Bowls.
I don't know that. That's the only thing I can think of that I'd even consider. But I think I'm probably still keeping them. But that's one I'd kind of be like, maybe it'd be cool to feel the first one again.
I don't think I really can even erase anything.
And here's an important question too: are you the same age or are you now?
Yeah, well, that's also an interesting question
I was 12, I think.
Yeah, you'd like that? I would rather win one now when it's like you're more, you understand and you're...
I like that memory because I have, it was like real childhood joy. Like I was up on the couch, arms like that, rather than like chugging a beer and spiking a beer or something like that.
There are definitely different ways to sell. Like I can see a scenario where it's awesome to be out at the bar and pouring beers and celebrating, but it's also very cool to just be like, I was watching my dad and like in my pajamas, and I love the sport of football at that point.
Exactly.
I think I would pick a little older than 12, though. I think like high school is a good sweet spot where you're still a little bit like innocent, but you can really appreciate it and understand it and know it and all that kind of shit. 12 is pretty young.
High school, that was when I got my World Series. So that was a good one.
You're such a dick. You want to talk about politics?
First time, long time. This is Rick from Boston. Quick question. Martin Luther King versus JFK, 2020. Society as it is, who wins the election? Viva.
I don't know enough about any of this to give an answer.
Well, you got to think that if Donald Trump can win just basically being like, I'm a rich white guy who's going to make things awesome, then JFK could certainly do that right now.
Yeah. JFK could just say, he could even say this in 2020, if he's like, let's go to the moon. Like, fuck yeah!
Let's go back!
Let's go back,
let's
baby.
Make America great on the moon again.
Yeah.
Mega on the moon.
Yeah, like, I'd be so into the moon. You give me outer space stuff. That was really, I always hated Hillary. I'm still not a Hillary fan. But when I really was like, all right, maybe there's something here with her.
The alien stuff.
The alien stuff.
Yeah.
That was really the only time where I thought, okay, maybe she's got a shot here.
That was her biggest misstep. If I ran a campaign, I would have just been like, tell them we're going to release alien secrets.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the White House, be like, we're not actually doing that.
That's what Trump did. We're going to build a wall.
Right.
We're going to do all this stuff.
We're not going to really
registries.
Do it.
Yeah, it's a lie. Once you get the job, like, go fuck off. I'm the president.
We're lying in the business interview. We're lying in the interview. Everybody does that. Tell me you're going to give me alien shit. I will vote for you every fucking time.
I'll tell you everything you want to know about fucking aliens, man.
You know what?
Run with an alien on the ticket. We'll have an alien vice president.
Yeah, there you go.
You got me.
Make up an alien. Be like, make up a name. Be like, yeah.
He's in Area 51. Don't worry. I'll bring him out. You'll meet him at the inauguration. He's a good dude.
Only ones are there.
He'd be and almost like Trump, where Trump said he'd hire. We're gonna have the best. You know, we're gonna have the best consultants and the best executives and all this bullshit.
It's the best alien in the world.
Trust me, this alien's great. He's the smartest. He's light years ahead of us.
Best in the galaxy.
He's as good an alien as you get.
Literally light years ahead.
Yeah, he's so smart. He built a flight ship.
A flight ship.
Exactly.
He built a
You don't even know what those are. Yeah. They're embedded in spaceships. Yeah, they're flight ships. He built a flight ship, flew it here by himself. Great pilot. Great guy.
He's been around for like 2,000 years.
He's a hero. Yeah. Yeah, he knows all kinds of history. Was pals with Jesus. All right? That's how you get the conservatives on board.
Oh, now we're talking. Yeah. We just won the election. We just won 2020.
Be a Democrat who runs with an alien on a ticket, says he was friends with Jesus.
Got it all.
That's 100% of the vote we just won.
The first unanimous ever.
Fuck Barstool. I'm a political analyst now. I'm out.
The problem for MLK and JFK, if they lived in like the social media age, they both would be fucked. Certainly JFK.
Everyone would be so fucked.
But
Martin Luther King loved hookers.
Yeah.
JFK loved to fuck everybody.
Right. I feel like people don't know that. You know, everyone knows that JFK fucked. I don't think everybody knows that MLK was dirty dog.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a big deal. Like, civil rights movement, but there's also this Snapchat video of you like doing blow off a hooker's ass.
Right.
That would be problematic for the Black Lives Matter movement. You want to talk about threesomes?
Sure. I love talking about things I don't know anything
about. What's up, KFC? I called in with this question a while ago when you guys were back at home, but I wanted to see Asa's perception of this. But if you had a choice between having a threesome with two midgets or two 7-foot-tall type women, which would you choose? For Asa, that'd be...
Asa's probably done both of these, so we'll have to follow up with her next week and just be like, which one was better? We're not speaking hypothetically, the midgets or the Amazons. Midgets or Amazons, I am the anti-Costanza, like, I am not into, like, overly tall girls.
Oh.
And I'm assuming we're talking about, I mean, he says 7 feet tall, like, we're talking about freaks. If you're, like, 5'10 or something, I can deal. If you're, like, 6'2 or 6'3 as a chick, we're getting, and then into 7 foot range, totally.
I mean,
out.
I could hook up with a 6'2, 6'3 girl. That's fine. But I mean, if we're talking 7,
that's just crazy.
That's a whole new ball game. And I think we have to be talking 7 because we're talking midget.
We're talking the extremes. I think I could definitely have sex with a midget much easier than an Amazon woman.
What sex? I couldn't have sex with any woman easily, but I think that.
I'll be perfectly honest. I think I could get into midget sex.
I see. I was gonna go the other way around. They greet me out. Where a tall woman, 7 footers, you know, even, it still looks like a woman, right?
It probably looks like a man.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure there's some masculine.
I think
there.
Of a midget as like an overgrown fleshlight. Like, I would just be like whacking it on me. Like, I would just be like treating it like a sex toy.
See, I think of a midget like a child.
Oh, okay. See, I definitely don't. I can see that. Like, that would fuck with my vibe if that was in my brain.
Right.
I don't think of it like that. I think of it as just like this little fucking like sex top, like you spin it, you know what I mean? But yeah, if you go the kid route, I think you almost have to pick the Amazons because
not almost. Definitely.
Yeah, you have
you
to.
You definitely right. have to pick the Amazon.
Yeah.
You almost have to not fuck the kid.
I mean, hey, we're not here to judge. We're in the trust tree. That's interesting. I would go with the midget, but only because I don't have the pedophilia thing in my brain like
yeah,
you do.
Yeah, no, that's one you didn't get.
You're probably a pedophile if
Come
you think that
on,
way.
What?
I mean, you're the one who just started. You're the one who brought up banging kids.
I brought up that midgets remind me of kids, so I'd bang a tall woman.
You still brought up banging kids.
Midget sex was brought up. I said midgets are like kids because they're little and they're weird and they're annoying.
They're annoying.
I don't know. Just they're small. Their small gait bothers me.
We're just judging midget walks now.
Yeah,
they have like the pigeon toes and they kind of waddle around.
It's peculiar, and I don't like peculiar things.
It is peculiar. That's a good word for it. Very peculiar. okay. I don't know what this one's about, but it's called Dad Sex.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just found out this past weekend that a buddy of ours' dad used to have his go-to move of being getting blowjobs in the car wash. What is
wow.
the most ridiculous thing you guys have found out about your dad or a friend's dad's sex life?
First of all, nothing.
Blowjobs.
I know nothing of my father's sex life.
You're a lucky fella.
I guess you guys don't.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know too much.
A little too much, yeah.
But it's awesome. It's cool that we know that.
Some of the stuff is weird. It's not necessarily like the sex life, because sometimes we were like, let's not finish this story.
Right, that's enough.
But when he like lived in the woods and...
Like insinuated that he like hooked up with like the electrician woman who lived next door in the cabin next door.
Who used to like shower in a stream or something like that.
It was, it was weird. It was when he had the monkey, the one-eyed monkey. And he was like, yeah, we used to live in the stream. We used to live in the woods.
There was
cabin.
No electricity.
No electricity. And he was like, and there was the old woman who lived next door who used to like give us the eye. But that's a different story for a different day. And I'm like, whoa. Wait, I think you just told the story, basically.
Your dad was banging an electrician and didn't even hook him up with electricity?
Terrible electrician. No, I might be saying she's an electrician because I mixed the stories of the electricity. I knew there was something electrical involved there. But... We know
she was like a handyman or something like that. She was very manly and
sounds like a 7-foot Amazon, to be honest. Probably had a threesome with her. We know the Sharon Stone stories. We know, you know, I think just in general, we know that Dad was like just smashing a lot. I always got that vibe.
When he was shipping out, there was
a
woman that followed him to like different countries and would be there ahead of the ship.
That's that good. When you follow a dude around the world. And I just remember
they would go get him. They'd be like, Clancy, Sally's on the dock. They're like pulling into port in like Barcelona. And she's like from the Bronx.
I also just remember
a little weird.
When we went out to like Pennsylvania one time, we were talking to like one of his buddies who was like the star quarterback. And he was kind of like jealous of Dad. I remember him being like, yeah, I mean, I was busy like on the field and your dad was underneath the bleachers with the cheerleaders. Like he was living it better. So I have plenty of answers there. I think, John, you're probably more the norm, that you don't know shit about it other than that your dad's had sex with your mom at least a couple times. That's
four.
About it.
Four minimum.
But I'll tell you what. The blowjob and the car wash move.
That's really what I'd like to focus on.
Let's get to brass tacks. That's an awesome move.
It's almost too good, if I may say, because I haven't been through a car wash in a while, so maybe I've matured slightly. I doubt it, but when I go through a car wash...
You love it, right? It's so cool.
I don't want anything else happening, because I'm taking in that experience.
It's one of those things. It's along the same line as like when you go to a hotel, and you're just like happy to be in a hotel again.
Right.
And like I'm going to go to the ice machine and the vending machine. I'm going to swim in the pool. I'm going to put on the robe. There's some weird little novelties in life that no matter how old you get, you're still like giddy to do it. And driving through the car wash, when it gets all dark and it's flopping around, you're just like, this is awesome.
Yeah, the soap suds mixing up.
I don't even think I could get hard.
It's like a kaleidoscope.
Yeah, it's just...
Babe, not right now. I'm learning about science.
Also, you know, there's some time constraint there. You're in there for a little bit, but not that long.
I mean, no. You're not in there very long.
You know, like, it depends on
And I'm not much.
She
of a,
is at it.
I'm not much of a blowjob comer, so I don't think I'll put it to the test, gals. Anyone wants to
have a challenge put out there to anybody?
Have a race so you can get me come before a car goes to a car wash. I'm up for the challenge.
I'm not much of a blowjob comer, says John.
I
that is an unbelievable lie.
I prefer to have sex. I wouldn't. I think that's why I don't. You'd have to really put in work.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like maybe you haven't gotten that great at blowjobs.
No, I've got some pretty good ones, but like, I guess maybe I am, but when I'm about to, I'm just like, stop, let's fuck.
Let me put it back in. Yeah. Got it. All right. So here's what we're gonna do. It's a new franchise. It's called John Gets Blowjobs in a Car Wash, and we'll videotape it. We'll put a GoPro in there, and I'll see you guys off. I'll be
in the back seat.
I can be in there. Yeah, okay. But I do think that we need someone outside who's waiting. And when you appear through, it's like, yeah, he came. Like, yep, ding, ding, ding. Like a host, almost. And it's called John Gets Blowjobs in a Car Wash.
It's a fun game.
And, you know, it sounds like you'll never actually succeed. But, yeah, that's actually a good idea. You'll get, like, 75% blowjobs from all these chicks who want to prove they can do it.
Let's go again.
Try. Like, in Miracle. Again.
Yeah.
Again. Again. How about... Craigslist.
Yeah, okay. See, what's up? It's Kyle from New York. Looking for a little advice from you and the KC Radio crew. Next month, I'm going to be moving in to an apartment with two females who I met off Craigslist. So they are just looking for some advice for living with the opposite sex, which I am not familiar with, and they are both older than me, not very attractive, so I don't think that'll be a problem with trying to hook up. But any other advice is much appreciated. Looking forward to your answers. Later.
I think this is a weird double whammy to do Craigslist and girls. I feel like you kind of do one or the other. Like, you live with girls, which is weird, but you know them or you're friends with them from a long time, or you go down the Craigslist route. I feel like you could just find Craigslist dudes and not have to worry about the commingling thing.
I guess, but there's still the stigma of Craigslist where everyone's a murderer. So,
right, and girls are less likely to murder
you.
Yeah,
good chicks aren't big on the murder.
True.
They're more crimes of passion. So maybe if you get to your dishes, you get murdered, and they become murderers.
Right.
But you're not moving in with murderers.
I just think that it's living with a chick is one of the hardest, weirdest things in the world to do. And so willingly doing it, to me, always blows my mind. Like, I would just never want to do that.
Caleb lives with chicks, doesn't he?
Hey, he wanted to. I don't know if he did that end up happening?
I have no idea. But that I always thought that like strange.
I also think his logic originally was like they're cleaner. And I think that when girls get comfortable, they're actually grosser than dudes.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's actually worse in that respect. Then you're going to deal with like their emotional bullshit. And then if there is any sort of sexual tension or you do hook up, it's just there's so many more pitfalls than with guys where it's just like, hey, what's up? Go to your room and you're done.
That's kind of what you have to do. That's what I would do if I moved in with a Craigslist to anybody. You just go to
you have to just.
That's the advice.
It's almost just like you live in separate apartments that there happens to be a wall that was knocked down. You know what I mean?
It's a hostel type deal.
Yeah.
I guess I actually never stayed in a hostel, so I don't really know. But you have your own kind of room, and then you have a shared bathroom. And a
that's
shared
it.
Kitchen.
Right.
That's it.
To me, though, girls and Craigslist seem like not a good idea. Because the chances of the murderers are lower, but girls who are on Craigslist willing to live with a dude are probably murderer girls. Because shouldn't they be saying, this dude's a fucking murderer?
True.
So that means they must be able to murder right back.
Dual murder?
Yeah.
Yeah, dual murder.
If you're a girl and you're not afraid of a dude on Craigslist, you're probably a murderer. That sounds like science to me.
That's accurate. I'm just thinking. I was thinking of the scenarios in my head. Yeah, if you're a chick who's not scared to get murdered,
you must be doing the murder. You're the ice cream killer.
Pretty badass. Bitch.
Right. Here we go.
Hey, this is Jordan. First time, long time, and I got a would you rather. Would you rather have your significant other / girlfriend get a notification that you're watching porn and all the details about the porn you're watching, or have them get a location on you whenever they want? Diva.
You hear that one, Johnny? Your significant other gets a notification of where you are at all times, or every time you watch porn, and it's like a detailed description of the porn that you're watching.
Hey, explain it to me one more time. I'm sorry.
Your significant other gets like an iPhone notification of where you are at all times, or every time you watch porn, they get a notification you're watching it and like a detailed description of what it is that you're watching.
100% porn. 100,000% porn.
Yeah, I mean, I here's how I thought of it. Because you're right, but I tried to kind of rationalize the other side of it. If you're really not like cheating and sleeping around, you shouldn't, you really are not worried about them knowing where you are.
Are you kidding me?
I'm just trying to play the other side of it.
I lie to everyone
all the time. Like, I'm on the ferry. Like, no, you're not.
Right. I'm in the shower.
No, you're not.
I'm on my way.
Yeah.
I'm in the shower.
Right.
I can't go to drinks right now. I'm still at the office. I'm fucking home on the couch.
Right. There's a long wait. No, you stopped at the bar to get a beer first.
Right.
Like, there's so many times where you lie about where you actually are. I don't think in general you can have any sort of notifications disproving any of your lies, whether it's location or what you're doing or where you're going or what you say or whatever it may be. I lie so often. I just lie for the sake of lying to the point that if she got any sort of notification, I would be totally fucked. The flip side, though, is not good either.
Well, here's the thing.
It's just kind of like humiliating, but it's not like detrimental to your life the way...
I feel like in 2016, you kind of have a relationship with your significant other where you know porn's happening. You're not discussing the porn, but you're aware the porn's happening. So you can kind of just say, you know, yeah, that's some fucked up stuff I was watching. But it's because I don't want to do it. It's, you know, it's a fantasy, and I wouldn't want to do that to you. Like, but
do you want to do these things?
Right.
Because this is how I get my release over here.
Right. Yeah, no, we had great missionary sex last night, but I had to see this girl shit out gummy bears today. So that's kind of a thing.
That was a little too specific for me, John.
No, that was, to be totally fair, that was one Asa has said.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen it.
I was going to say, I'm going to go. I know what I'm searching tonight.
Well, yeah, you'll find Asa.
I'm probably going to search it anyway. Yeah.
Asa, I think Asa said she'd like
the problem, too, is that there are times where you almost, I would want the notification to say, like, he's just, this is morbid curiosity. He's not really enjoying it. Because there are times where I'll click around and search things. Strictly for research, almost.
Yeah,
this is like reconnaissance here.
That'd
I'm not
a nice
actually,
stipulation to have.
You know, is my dick in my hand or not? Because there's different things going on.
This one, he just has a quizzitive look on his face.
Right,
dick's actually getting a little soft.
I might not even
if they give an update on the hardness of your penis with it,
that's a problem. Because it could be like, he's really hard right now, and look what he's watching. Yikes, this is a problem. So it's really about how much you're enjoying said porn as she gets the notification. All right, last voicemail of the day. Let me see. Let me make it a good one. We got hooker peeing or minty breath. Let's see. Let's just get weird and talk about this. This guy is – I didn't really want to talk about this because I was trying to keep it relatively clean, but this is really disgusting, and this guy needs to know that there's a problem.
What up, guys? KFC Minneapolis here. The other day, I was with my girlfriend, and she was sitting on the toilet, you know, taking a piss, and I peed between her legs. And so, just wondering...
I mean, I can't even listen to the voicemail. I hope it's a lie. I hope it's not true. That, he's like, his question is like, is that too close? Like, is that too close for comfort? Like, that's disgusting, dude. That's absolutely fucking vile. Think about it. Like, you're sitting there, and then I'm peeing through your legs into the toilet.
Hats off to him.
Be a
sniper, yeah.
I mean, that's like those carnival games where you make the balloon blow up by shooting the gun in the hole.
That's hard. That's
very hard.
That's impossible. I'm not even good at...
I mean, there's a reason we pee all over the toilet seat sometimes. That's a whole bowl shoot into.
I pee all over the that's actually a perfect metaphor for my life, that I piss all over the toilet seat. Cause
it's not that hard, and you still screw it up.
Because I know... But I know it's going to lead to more work in 30 seconds because I'm going to have to wipe the toilet seat. But just right now, I'd rather not do it.
So you're just letting it fly.
I'm just like, whatever, fuck it, I'll piss on the seat right now.
And then I know.
And then you're done. You're like, fuck.
And then I'm like, now I got to wipe the seat. But it's just I put everything off. It doesn't matter if I'm putting it off for less than a minute. I'm putting everything off.
I will procrastinate every single second I possibly can.
I don't feel like bending down to lift the seat right now. So I'll do it. I'll do it.
Then you're going to have to bend over and wipe it anyway.
I'll do it in 45 seconds. I'll make more work for myself. Very, 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 very shortly.
You know, I was thinking,
just to kind of skip this right
the
now.
The dude who invented the idea to just cut the middle part of the toilet seat out is a fucking genius.
What do you mean?
So, like, you know, like your home toilet's like a full ring, but usually, like, a public toilet just has, like, the U shape.
Oh, right.
Because, like,
right.
when it ends up dripping at the very end, there's just no seat to
hit.
I see
what you're saying.
That's
yeah.
fucking so smart. There was probably a dude who just like got out a machete and chopped it up and was like, look, now I don't have to worry about my drip on the seat. Genius. It's a very subtle move that really changed the world as we know it. Hats off to that guy, the toilet seat tweaker.
But dude, as for this guy, what the fuck is wrong with you, man?
I mean, like, I just
don't go piss in the sink. It's to have an excuse to piss in the sink. It's like having an excuse to piss outside. It's best.
It's great. It feels good.
You're not even doing anything wrong, and you're feeling so good about it right now. It's a fun adventure to go on. Go stand on your tiptoes. Go piss in the sink. If your wife catches you, say maybe you shouldn't take it so fucking long in the bathroom, or I wouldn't be pissing. With
Is it
dishes.
Better? It's better than me pissing between your legs, right, babe?
Right.
So last words today: pee in the sink. Don't do weird bathroom stuff with your significant others. That's what it really comes down to. Watch that porn. That's how you get that out of there. Watch it on the internet. Don't do it in real life. That's actually a good metaphor for everybody. Watch it on the internet. Don't do it in real life. That's it for this episode. Wrap.
This morning about 7:30, took a shower cause my ass was kinda dirty, clothes was clean, face fresh, teeth was shining, no need to iron, wrinkle free so I'm styling, pants fitting fresh, physique is looking slim, had a bowl of cereal, thank god the milk wasn't skim, coffee was bubbling, the dishwasher was empty, hopped in my whip, no need for my 10 speed, went to pick Tibbs up, car was
sparkling,
pulled up to his crib with perfect parallel
walking.
My day is going so swell, pardon the jargon, but it's nostalgic as hell. Who knows what the day could bring, raking in a little cheddar. Tibbs, look at the weather, the station lasts forever. Just a super MC, can't be denying the creds. I gotta keep waking up on this side of the bed.
Things are only up and up, things are looking swell. Things are only up and up, far as I can tell. Things are only up and up, things are looking swell. Things are only up and up, far as I can tell. Things are only up and up, things are looking swell. Things are only up and up, far as I can tell. Things are only up and up, things are looking swell. Things are only up and up, far as I can tell. I wake up in the morning and fell out of bed. I said the same damn dream, getting visions ahead. So I hop up in the shower, throw on the baby powder. Feeling old school polos on Eddie Bauer. Six and steady honking while I'm twisting twigs. Get up with frequency, studio and make hits. It's now 2 hours, three jams done right. Stroll to the net, fatty banger, alright. The good mood's increasing while I'm steady thinking. Can I have 1,000 Puerto Ricans for the weekend? Looking on luscious like Angie Martinez. More pleasantries, more trees and no stress. By 4:55, you know my head's a mess. I said 2:15 frequency and 6 left. And 5:22, life is at its best. Because 6:35, sweaty sex with my ex. Today was a good day and tomorrow's next. Hey, now. Things are only up and up, things are looking swell. Things are only up and up, far as I can tell. Things are only up and up, things is looking swell. Things are only up and up, as far as I can tell. Things are only up and up, things is looking swell. Things are only up and up, as far as I can tell. Things are only up and up, things is looking swell. Things are only up and up, as far as I can tell. Smooth and swingable because the beat is rough and rugged. Dirty diamond in the rough, I said I shining other nuggets.
I found one of those deep inside the wishing well of this beat.